Hello, my name is Father Jim. I'm glad to be back with you. I'm spiritual director at the Pontifical Beda College in Rome. And I gather that some of my thoughts have been helpful to some people, and I've been asked to carry on. In the next series of talks, after my meditation on the poem of Friendship by Carlyle Gibran, I thought I'd take various pieces of scripture and share with you what I have in my larder. And then perhaps I might look at the 12th step program, the spirituality of it, and some of the work I do with prisoners in death row. But for now, I'm thinking of Revelation, how God courteously wishes to speak to us. It's really very rude and patronizing to talk at people, to talk above them so they feel stupid, talk below them so that they feel patronized. So we can expect God's courtesy to speak to peoples where they are, at the stage they're at. So I'm going to start with a look at the book of Revelation, or the Apocalypse as it's sometimes called, chapter 3, verses 14 to 22. There's a rocket sent by the Holy Spirit to the church in Laodicea. It is a healthy person who can be both happy and sad at the same time. If you put that into a computer, it would blow its fuse. Irish people are very good at it. I mean, an Irish man might need a whiskey to give himself permission to weep at a funeral, because Irish men can be tough and they can be very soft too. Same with Mediterranean peoples. My brother-in-law can scream at my sister and kiss her at the same time. The British have problems about this. Saxons, Northern Europeans, if they're happy, they have to give you 3 days' warning of a deep depression. It's rather hard for Northern people to feel both happy and sad at the same time. But Mediterranean peoples and Celts can feel both. And that's what reality is. Praise to the holiest in the heights and in the depths be praise. God's real world consists of mountains and valleys, heights and depths. It can be hot and cold. It can be summer and winter, night and day. Happiness and sorrow, that's what God's world is like. So we can expect God to speak to that sort of world. So a Hebrew God will have all the emotions that Hebrew peoples had. So he can get very cross and then come over all coy and loving. For instance, in the book of Hosea, God is complaining, "I gave you corn and you made corn dollies and worshipped the corn dollies. I gave you wine and you worshipped the wine gods." "Right, right, I'll stop your corn, I'll stop your wine. That will frustrate you over your little gods. But then I'll lead you out behind the Sphinx and the pyramids, speak to your heart and make love to you." So a Hebrew God can be both happy and sad, loving and cross. So in this reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 3, God is complaining about the church in Laodicea. You think you're very well off, but you forget you're poor and pitiable as well. I wish you were hot or cold. You're just tepid. Well, with some places, when they put the plumbing in, there was a place for a hot tap and a place for a cold tap. It'd be much cheaper to have one tap and call it tepid. You can buy hot coffee, and then sometimes at some social places you can buy iced coffee at a price. But if you had coffee, you didn't know whether it was iced coffee or hot, you'd tend to not want it. And we are both saints and sinners at the same time. When we look later at Our Lady, we'll see she's He who is mighty has done great things to me, but he's looked on me in my nothingness. Computers can't handle this. So we're both good and weak at the same time. So Laodicea's ticked off. And then the Lord comes over all coy. Look, he says, look. I'm standing at your door knocking. I believe in St. Paul's Cathedral in London is the original wonderful painting of Our Lord with a lantern knocking at a door. There isn't a handle on his side, so he can't let himself in. He's not a burglar. He can only wait until we open the door to him. And later on, I'll be looking at to what extent do we allow him within our home? Do we just leave him outside and say, sorry, you can't come in. It's untidy. I've got rising damp. I haven't done the washing up. Stay out there until I get myself right. Then I'll let you in. Well, that's pure Pelagianism. Pelagius was a person who thought we could do a do-it-yourself salvation kit. When we look at the first commandment, I wouldn't even know what's wrong with me. I can only allow him in. It's quite painful to show me what is a real shrine to the one true God and what's really a shrine to Jim Brand. It's quite painful to allow him to clear the temple of impurities. So sometimes we can leave him outside. So he says, I'm standing at the door knocking. If one of you will allow me to come in, I shall come in to enjoy your meal. If I was invited for dinner somewhere, and as we sat down at table, I brought out my bag and said, here are my sandwiches. My host would say, oh, are you a celiac? Do you need special bread? Are you on a diet? Or if I said, actually, I thought my sandwiches would be rather better than the dinner you were offering me, wouldn't that be rude? When our Lord comes to us, he doesn't bring his sandwiches. He wants to enjoy our hospitality, what we have on the hob. And prayer is that hospitality, to make him feel at home with us, to enjoy us. And if he wants, he can smoke his pipe, and he can put his feet on the mantelpiece and put on his slippers. Prayer is intimacy. It's not necessarily turning my little home into a great big St. Peter's or a big temple. He wants to come to enjoy us. And he's grateful for anything we have to offer. And don't forget, he's very easy to please. He doesn't want Chateau Neuf de Pape wine and caviar. He said he'd be happy with a cup of water. So really, prayer simply is hospitality. He comes to stand at our door and knock. The trouble is, we're trying to find him. We're searching to find him. He's the one who seeks us. And I believe that he who seeks always finds. My rule is, when he asks us to do anything, I always say to him, did you do it yourself? I remember a priest getting frightfully angry with me once when I was giving a retreat. And what I'm going to say now, and I hope you won't misunderstand me, and I hope you won't be angry. He is the one who seeks us. Like Adam, who hid in the bushes and gave the rather false impression that he hadn't got any clothes on. It was really pride parading as modesty. He eventually found him. He sought Adam in the bushes. And no matter how fast we run away from him, the hound of heaven, he will come after us. And I believe and hope that he who seeks, namely the Lord, somehow, somewhere, sometime, will always find. I hope and pray he'll find everyone, even though they're running away from him as fast as possible. And he's the one who asks. Sometimes we're asking so much and broadcasting so much, we jam him. Instead of our broadcast button, we should be having on our reception button, because he asks. And he's very persistent. He's asking, Jim, will you give me permission to love you? And that is what faith is. It's not just intellectual assent to truths, it's consent, as we shall find when we talk about the Annunciation. And he's very easy to please. You know, we wonder what we've got to offer. He's happy with little mercies, a cup of water. And although we may leave him outside, he'll be back. And then he's the one who knocks at the door. We might say, nothing today, thanks. No milk today. Domani, as the Italians say. Sempre domani, always tomorrow. Mañana, as the Spanish say. He'll be back to bother us. So our Lord sought Adam and found him. He's always asking us. He's knocking at the door. And I hope and pray that one day, because of his persistence, he'll have the door open to him. He'll find us. And he'll be given permission to love us. Meanwhile, prayer is allowing him to make his home within us. Because that's why we're created, you know. We're created for him to find a home within us. A unique home. It's not a series of flats or apartments. It's not a terraced house. It's a unique home for him. And then he says, first time your place, next time my place. If you allow me to make my home in you, to enjoy what you've got on the hob, I tell you, I'll invite you to my home to enjoy what we've got on the hob in heaven. Amen.